The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As the people were filled with expectation, all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah. John answered all of them, saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, beloved children of God. Amen. So last Sunday, as I headed toward the sanctuary for this very service, I found myself in step with Sophia and her mom, Stephanie. They were coming from Sunday school, and Sophia had a really tight grip on a baby doll. It was clearly one of her favorites. And Sophia explained to me that in Sunday school that morning, like intern Lynching was saying, they had learned about baptism. And not only that, but in Sunday school, they had done a little bit of baptizing. That baby doll, whose name I learned is Emma, the whole group of kids had baptized over and over and over again, practicing. That's what you do sometimes. Now, I admit that I would love to have stood quietly in that doorway and witnessed what happened in that room. But hearing Sophia excitedly relay the experience was witness in itself. I savor the image of the youngest in this community of faith dousing baby doll Emma with baptismal waters, small fingers tracing the cross of Christ on baby doll Emma's forehead, and strong voices naming her, remembering, practicing, you are a beloved child of God. I savor that. So today is Baptism of Jesus Sunday. And in this season of Epiphany, this time when our stories remind us how God and God's power are revealed, today we hear Luke's rendition of Jesus' baptism. The crowds have headed over to the River Jordan and they're murmuring with expectation, could this be the Messiah? Could it be? The politics are high. They're scandalous, in fact. In a few verses, the lectionary people skipped. Did you notice that? They didn't give us a couple of them. In the verses that they skipped, John the Baptizer has been shut up in prison, for he dared raise concerns over Herod's affair with his brother's wife. So right there, with questions in the air, swirling, in fact, with things as messy as ever, right then, the heavens open. And then the Holy Spirit alights, and then we hear these words, You are my child, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Those words, that promise, they echo through the rest of Luke's gospel. You are my child, my beloved. They echo as Jesus calls to Zacchaeus up there in the sycamore tree, You are my child, my beloved. They echo to the widow of Nain and so many others, the outcast, the forgotten, the hurting, the lonely. You are my child, my beloved. They echo to the Samaritan who dares to pause to see the fellow in the ditch, not walking by, but to see him, to hear his need, to respond in love. You are my child, my beloved. They echo. You, God says to Jesus so simply and so clearly, even in the messy, complicated politics of his time. And then you, Jesus says over and over again, as he heals and as he forgives and as he teaches. And you, God says to each of us, you are my child, my beloved. And that, in turn, is the way that we are called to meet and see one another. Those that we love dearly, those we respect, those we're not so sure how much we respect. Those who irritate and annoy, those who madden and frighten. You are a child of God, beloved. You are a child of God, beloved. It echoes, doesn't it? I am a child of God, and because I am a child of God, I can see the same in you, and when I name that for you, you can name that for the person next to you. We name it for one another, and it goes round and round and round. We affirm this beloved identity in those with whom we interact every single day, indeed every single moment. Forgiveness and mercy, mercy beyond our merit, grace for the days ahead, courage for the work before us. That's part of this baptismal identity that we claim. So this Sunday, we are lifting up those in our congregation who help us live our baptisms. Truth is, at our best, this is a big, broad group, for this is a calling of this life of faith, supporting one another in living our baptisms, living as the beloved. Faith formation leaders, Sunday school teachers, they do this, but so do godparents and family members and friends, the whole community, really. We are all about, at our best, helping one another live as the baptized people of God. But today, I'm thinking about a few in particular around hope. I'm thinking about Karen Jorstad, who faithfully sends out materials to the families of those who are newly baptized, materials that help them nurture their child's faith, and then annually she sends out cards to mark this milestone of baptism. Karen Jorstad wrote recently, "I like to handwrite the addresses on the splash materials instead of using labels, as it gives me a moment to think about what age and stage each child is in and to pray for them and their parents while I'm readying the materials for monthly mailings." Nancy Struthers creates these beautiful red banners. You often see them hanging right there by the baptismal candle, the paschal candle on baptismal days. And each banner includes the person's name. This is one for Constance Catherine Skoy. I had to borrow it yesterday and say, could I please just borrow it for one day? Often they also say the name and then also the date of the baptism. On baptism days, they grace our worship space, and then they go home with the newly baptized as a daily reminder. And when I visit houses, I often find them tacked up on a bulletin board or hanging over a crib somewhere close by to be that reminder. You know, Nancy Struthers is a family medicine doctor, and she does her share of delivering babies. And Nancy has told me that she often is stitching these banners while she's waiting for babies to be delivered. So in those quiet moments sitting at the hospital when there's no action, or the mom's doing the action, but there's nothing else that she can do, she's stitching these banners, these baptismal banners. Her own baptismal faith inspires her stitching, and it inspires her doctoring. That's baptismal. This year, Tim Abrahamson, one of our many skilled woodworkers around Hope, took apart the wooden base to the baptismal font in the chapel. It needed care that it could be renewed and it could be strengthened. He also added these strong wheels on that base. Go in and check it out sometime. It allows that baptismal font to be moved out and into the center or wherever we might need it to be used. When the confirmation students and intern Lynching and I meet, and we're going to meet this afternoon, at the end of our session, we're going to gather for just a few minutes in the chapel, and we're going to move that baptismal font out more toward the middle, and then we're going to stand around that font, shoulder to shoulder, and we're going to put our hands in the water, just our fingertips, and we're going to pray. And I want to tell you that these young people are powerful, powerful prayers. And in doing that, I am grateful for Tim's work, for the ways that his skill was able to be used that help all of us pray and remember our baptisms more deeply. And many of you have heard how Wayne Lee and Tim created this beautiful font, the one that's in this sanctuary. It's one thing to create it, but it's also Wayne who comes back over and over again whenever we need to have a little bit of tweaking. You know, fonts get kind of quirky sometimes, don't they? This one does especially. And whenever we need a little bit of tweaking, he comes back and he comes in so he can tinker so that the water flows just right and it heats up just so and the water moves. Today I thank God for Wayne, but for all of these four and so many others who use their gifts and their passions and their values to help the rest of us remember that we too are beloved children of God, called to use our gifts. So as we talk about baptismal identity, I'm thinking also, and this might be a stretch for some of you, but I'm thinking about it, about the name tags. Remember the name tags that we get out, especially on fellowship meal days, those name tags? You know, I could just print a whole bunch of name tags, and I would just write on each one, beloved. And I would say, beloved, meet beloved, and beloved, meet beloved. But that gets complicated. What I really want is for each of us to also know the unique particularity and identity that each one of us has, an identity that's often evolving and changing and growing. And that brings me to pronouns. You probably didn't think I could get to pronouns in this sermon, but I can. In our community, there are plenty of folks who use pronouns like him and his and he, and other pronouns like she and her and hers. And there are other folks who'd much prefer that we call them by other pronouns like they, them, and theirs, or maybe even still other ones. Some identify as queer or trans or non-binary. Others know that their identity is changing, and in that changing time in their own hearts, they want to figure out, how do I use these pronouns and help other people identify me in the ways that I most need and seek? When we use name tags in the coming weeks, I ask that you put your name, but also that you write your pronouns underneath your name. So I would write Pastor Jen, and then under that I would write she, her, hers, because that's how I identify. This gives those talking with me a confirmation of my preference. So my preference is her, hers, she. But somebody else might prefer something different. And sometimes we can't always assume or guess, or maybe we might make the wrong guess, and that isn't helpful for somebody's identity. So I can hear some folks saying, oh, everybody just knows how I identify. Everybody just knows what my identity is or what pronouns I would want. And I would simply ask you to think about the ways that that begs us to think about our own privilege, and then to think about how we support one another in all of that privilege. Think about that. We don't have pronoun police around this church. That's not what I'm after at all. No pronoun police. What we do have is an invitation, and I would say a responsibility, to honor one another by seeing each other as our truest and our most God-claimed beloved selves. And that's why this is so important. Truest God-claimed beloved selves. And these pronouns are part of being that kind of beloved community that can see one another and honor one another in that beloved identity. Dear ones, in baptism, we are known and named as beloved, and then we can see and affirm this true and beloved identity in everybody that we meet all through the day. The kids knew that. They knew that very well when they were baptizing baby doll Emma over and over again. You are a beloved child of God. You are a beloved child of God. On Wednesday morning, longtime Hope member Robert Agrimson died. Robert was 96 years old and is loved by his daughter Ann Agrimson and Tim Gustafson, and grandchildren Gus and Peter, and this web of family and friends. Robert's beloved wife, Joy, died 4.5 years ago. When Robert was quite small, his mom died, and he was sent to live with his aunt and uncle on the dairy farm near Peterson, down in far southeastern Minnesota. And when he finally left the farm, Robert went to school and trained as an electrician. And for 25 years, Robert's vocation was taking care of the generators at the Ford Hydro Plant in St. Paul. That was his life work. He had a persistence and a self-sufficiency of a farmer, and he was skilled at woodworking and needlecraft. He was into camping and canoeing, and Robert absolutely loved lutefisk and lefse. So to this font, Robert and Joy brought Anne for baptism, and in this space they gathered when Joy had died at the end of her life. Robert knew a wonderfully open spirit, It's just powerful, a wonderfully open spirit, and had a trust in God's big and wide embrace. On Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, we will gather in that same wide mercy of a God who names us beloved, who named Robert beloved at his birth and still loves him now. We'll give thanks for Robert's life, we'll share stories, and we'll commend beloved Robert to God's big love. When members of this congregation die, we remember how the waters that first washed over them in baptism hold them still in death. We pray at the baptismal font, linking ourselves to God's powerful waters of promise. Let us pray. Holy God, holy and powerful, remember before you today our brother Robert Agrimson. We thank you for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. At these waters of baptism, you welcomed him into your love. At these waters, you comforted him in times of trouble and encouraged him in delight. At these waters, you now enfold him into Jesus' death and resurrection and the promise of life everlasting. Console us who mourn and bring us together to feast with all the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.